Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Show number 42 for Monday, February 8, 2010.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
In now, the only two people in this world who are proud to claim they've traveled faster than the speed of dark. Your hosts, Lou Costanzo and Brian Dedamore. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main webpage is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. If you keep your emails somewhat brief and to the point, we will work them in as part of a future show, and we have worked them in as part of a future show. So please send them on. You can send us voicemail on Skype by plugging in Lou Trek Show on Skype. And you can follow us on Twitter by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter. And now, I think it's time to bring on our co-host, because I gotta be honest, I feel a little sympathy and pity for the guy. So here we go.
And now, a man from Indianapolis whose Colts Super Bowl loss made him half homicidal and the other half suicidal. Either way, he's just not getting the job done. Your co-host, Brian Dedamore.
And you did, Brian. How you doing, buddy? You okay now?
No, I got the blue flu.
You got the blue flu. You do not want to come on and do this show, do you? I know.
Oh, I'm so sick of black and gold. I got so mad I took my Sanders shirt, went outside, and dumped lighter fluid on it, and set it afire after I wore it for 14 straight victories.
Oh, really? Well, I hope you took it off before you did that.
Hell no, I got third-degree burns on my back. I'm Klingon. I'm suicidal.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, wait a minute. Homicidal. I don't know which one I am. See? I'm just not getting it done.
Half homicidal, half suicidal. Either way, you're just not doing the job.
It's been a roller coaster all week.
Yeah, I know.
with the Super Bowl hype and everything. And yeah. We had a ship's party last night, and we all were sitting there watching that game, and we're all going, oh, like, how could they lose that football game? Before I go any further, mm-hmm. Okay, we at Indianapolis are graceful losers. I have to compliment the New Orleans Saints. They played a wonderful game. They mm-hmm. did a great job. They have brought pride and honor to the Cajun State. So they can go back and have Mardi Gras 9 days early.
Oh, they're going to do just that.
Enjoy having, because yeah. You know that trophy will be floating down Bourbon Street all through Mardi Gras.
Absolutely.
That'll be the most protected trophy in God's green earth. Be that Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can count on Mardi Gras having a lot of Super Bowl trophy mm-hmm. stuff floating around.
I can imagine. That'd be interesting. And for those of you who are listening to the show later, we recorded this on, again, Monday, February 8th, 2010, and the Super Bowl was yesterday, Super Bowl 42. And I mean, there were no Star Trek commercials, but there were some interesting commercials nonetheless. I gotta be honest, I know one thing that I thought was lame was the GoDaddy commercial, and since I want to keep this a family-friendly podcast, we won't go into the usual GoDaddy commercials, but generally, you've come to expect them to be pretty racy. I thought it was not only lame, I thought it's going a little too far now.
The guys walking around with no pants on were more racier than the GoDaddy commercial.
Exactly. I mean, they're known for racy, and it was a little bit, but definitely not GoDaddy-esque, as they put it. And, now the commercials, even though I was a good supporter of the commercials, because like Bob Parsons, the president and founder of GoDaddy, says, we've got to try and tell you that we sell domains, we sell hosting, we sell SSL certificates, we sell all these things that we sell in a 30-second commercial that can't be done. So what you do is you bring on this message to make people want to go to your website and check out what it is you do. And it's worked 4 years in a row now, so you can't complain. But on the other hand, what he did to get people to the website, it's getting old. It's just getting a little old.
Yeah, who wants to look at Danica Patrick's upper chassis?
Yes, I know. And okay, well, we'll keep it family.
Now, the best one, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hands down was that little kid on the Dorito commercial.
Yeah.
Hands down was, I thought, was the best one.
Yeah.
Because it was the way they set it up, is how they did it was beautiful. And the Betty White Abe Pagoda commercial.
Oh, that was funny. Wasn't that for Snickers?
Yeah. I mean, they had to do some deep. They really went to the crypt.
Yes,
to
not
pull
only
Abe out of the crypt.
I mean, obviously it was stunt double. It wasn't Betty White and what's his name from Barney Miller? I mean, the old guy from Barney Miller. They did not
Abe Vigoda is his name.
They did not take a real hit. But still, it was just funny that, you know, when they get the old man down on the ground and he, I don't know what he said, but it was funny. They were funny.
It's just the fact that they dug him out of the grave for the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thinks this poor old man's dead. He's lived longer than George Burns.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's still kicking. So that was kind of interesting.
I'm waiting for him to take over. I'm waiting for him to come on and do Law and Order.
Uh-huh. What would the name of that series be? Law and Order Geriatrics? The Geriatric Squad? You know, yeah. But, hey, God bless him if he's still around. So, well, the Super Bowl was pretty good, but anyway.
Like I said, I humbly bow down to the better team. Mm-hmm. The better team showed up and played the better football game.
Yeah, poor Peyton Manning. I don't want to be him today.
Oh, I don't want to be Peyton Manning come next season because Peyton does not like losing. And
nope.
Every time he gets, pardon the expression, screwed or he screws up bad, he comes back with a vengeance. I feel sorry for the AFC next year. You thought their 14 game streak was a hot streak then? Stand by. It's going to get even hotter next year.
So are you planning to join the mad, crazy people that are planning to go to Denny's tomorrow morning for your grand slam?
Yes, we are.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, that was a good commercial, too, all those chickens.
Yes, that is funny. Yeah, the chicken screaming, then you got the chicken.
President, the president of the chicken nation going,
yeah, that was good. He was wearing the tie, you know, in the Oval Office.
As soon as we send the boy off to school in the morning, we're going to. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We might not be able to make it. We got a snowstorm coming in tomorrow. We got 5 to 8 inches of snow coming in after just being dumped with another inches of snow here.
Maybe Denny's will be the good place to go that no one else is going to want to go. I doubt it. People for a free breakfast? Please. People will be out there in droves no matter what the conditions are. So,
I want to let all my fellow Klingons know that those who listen and get on. Hang on for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, okay. Well, that's going to be good. Well, good luck to you. I am not stupid enough to go for my free breakfast in the morning. So.
Well, if you didn't even have a Denny's close to you way out there in corn country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got at least one that I know of, maybe two.
What, way out in the other end of the state?
Nope. I think it's at 33rd and Dodge or somewhere. No, maybe not.
Anyway, I want to let my fellow Klingons know that my fight with the federal government is almost over, and it will be victory.
Really? Well, because my fight with the federal government's just begun. Remember my first-time home mortgage blues or home buyer blues? I now got my bill that we owe $7,754.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, well, they haven't gotten our 1040X to see if that might solve this situation. And if not, you know, I was playing with my wife. I said, I want a gun. She said, why? I said, well, be that way, you know, I don't get to end this misery. She said, no, because then I'll be all alone to pay it. And I said, no, you'll get $150,000 for me. Not if you commit suicide. I said, oh, that's true.
Yeah,
so
don't
what
you
we'll
damn,
do? What we'll
damn,
do?
Damn, don't you commit suicide. How in the hell am I supposed to do this show every week? I don't know how to run Audacity.
Well, we'll figure it out. But, you know, then I was playing with her some more. I said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to teach our daughter how to shoot. I want her to grow up knowing how to shoot a gun. So we'll take the clip out and just, you know, have her point it at me just to, you know, see. There you go. That's how you point. Boom. Be my luck, though, she'll miss, hit me in the shoulder, and then then my wife will have to explain how the second shot hit me. So, you know.
I wouldn't be too hard with your ADD kid. She just, oh, wow, this is fun.
I don't know. Well, you know, we'll have a plan of attack. If we have to pay it, we have to pay it, and it's just going to take a long time. And as the song said, we have a 30-year mortgage, but the house may be paid off first.
Hey, push comes to shove, you can always hire a Klingon hitman.
Yeah, but how do you take out the whole federal government?
Who says I'm taking out the federal government? I'm taking out Lou Costanza.
Oh, that's true. That's true, yeah.
It's easier to kill you than it is to kill the president.
There you go. Just don't let my insurance company hear you say that.
Delete that.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're just kidding here. Come on. Don't take everything so serious. So another thing I want to announce beyond that is I'm going to try a new website, just testing right now. It's called mypodcast.com, and supposedly you can get free uploads of about an hour length show, which is what we do. Our show is around 20-25 megabytes and average about an hour, so you can only get like 30 megabytes. We never get that much. But I'm going to run them on both websites just to test it out and see how it sounds. So this will be my first broadcast on mypodcast.com. And you can check it out. And if it works good and it looks good, then I would have no problems canceling out the unlimited service I have to pay for right now. And that will be coming up in, I believe, April. So if I can nix that big fee, that would be wonderful. The only drawback.
Yeah, tell me about it. Since we don't have the corporate.
Yeah.
We don't have the corporate lawyers and the corporate
sponsor
managers and everyone else breathing down our throat and paying for our services.
Exactly. And we don't get donations, and we don't get it for a reason. I don't believe that this is good enough to donate to just yet. Maybe someday.
Nobody be crazy enough to donate to us.
Nah, and I don't want them to. I want them to enjoy this. So, but I also don't want a corporate master. I've said it many times. Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show. I love you, Mike, but you know there are times that I could just put the headphones down, go upstairs, make a sandwich, and you're still going on about the sponsors that you have to do the ads for. And I don't know if I want to do that. He's got to read them a certain way. He's got to, you know, and then he's got to get produce results. So many times it's got to be heard by people. I don't want a corporate master. So, that's
now. Shall we tell them our? And I say this "our" because it does apply to you and it does apply to me. Our good news, or do you want to tell them?
Well, you know, I gotta go back to our good news actually and reread again. And go ahead, and you tell them what we're possibly. I want to make sure I understand. This is possible. Tell them what we're doing.
Well, we requested and sent in to be a part of TrackFest. That's the big Star Trek convention. It's supposedly in Captain Kirk's hometown of Riverview, Iowa. And I guess from the email we got yesterday that the committee has voted us in to be at the convention this year.
TrekFest. And that's actually Riverside, Iowa.
Okay.
But it's Saturday, June 25th and 26th. Now, the reason why I say I'm not so sure about it is I read what she said, and it says, hello, at our meeting, we voted to have you be a part of our Trek Fest, and then they're going to get in touch with me. And it then says, this will be at the casino during our Q&A event more. And then it was signed by Carol, who's in charge of the Trek Fest. And I just wrote back and said, hey, that's wonderful. I can't wait, you know, and told her a little bit more about us and how we don't take donations, we're not selling anything, we won't make a dime out of that. So
we're selling Star Trek.
We're selling Star Trek, but we're not making money. We don't, you know, we can honestly say on our IRS form, we don't make one red cent out of this. As a matter of fact, it actually costs us. But I want her to understand, in case they come back and say, well, your table's going to be $500, that's when I'll say, sorry, we can't do it. But the thing is, this will be at the casino during our Q&A event. Is she saying that's all we're going to be allowed to be there, is at the casino during their Q&A event? Because it's a two-day thing, and I'm planning to be there in town 3 days. If it's going to be a two-hour deal, would that even be worth driving all the way out there for? You know?
Depends.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what they say. I mean, I'm waiting for the guy to get back with me about the particulars. First of all, we can't pay. We're paying enough for this, and we can't pay any more for it. And if we're not going to be there for the whole thing, you know, I want to be there from start to end. You know, that's worth it. But anyway, there's that. We'll let everybody know as we get more information. So what else you got to say, Brian?
That's it. That was all of our big – that was everything that we got. One other thing. For those who are in the Grand Clan Mascara.
The what?
We have a new member to the house. We have an actor who has joined our honorable house. And, we got a new member to the house, to the Clan Mascara, my Klingon house I belong to.
Yeah.
John Carrigan. He plays the new Klingon, the new human fusion Klingon on Star Trek Phase 2, where they're redoing the original series.
Okay.
And he signed up for Klingon Space, and then the next day he joined our Klingon house. He's a full-time member now of our Klingon house.
Cool. On Star Trek Phase 2. Have we tried to get them on?
I've been trying to, but I haven't gotten no response from them yet. They do live production. It's a web-based television show, is what Phase 2 is.
Oh, okay.
They do the TOS series.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do the show, like they did the original show back in the 1960s, the original TOS, but they change all the characters around. So okay. Now they got Klingons. They're back to the human fusion Klingons.
Yeah. Actually, I think I did see a little bit of that, and it was pretty impressive, actually. So I definitely will be checking that out again. So everyone go to StarTrekNewVoyages.com, and I'll put a link to them on the main page if you want. And come on, guys. Come on the show and tell us what you do. I mean, you just advertise your show.
John said the reason why he can't do it is because of the time schedule. He lives out in England.
Yeah.
So the four hours ahead of us is
six.
Throws him off. So
yeah, I know.
I told him when he comes back and visits the States to retape their new show in May and June to give us a pop on Skype on the computer. He says I don't have Skype, so I was nice and told him how to log it on and everything and. Told him how to get a hold of us and told him if he wanted to come on and do an hour show, he can tap into his personal computer, chit-chat with us. And
Well, you know, I mean, we would always do the show earlier in the day, too. So,
yeah,
so it's a better time frame for him.
We've had several overseas people that we've done early shows for, too.
No problem. All right. Well, what's our topic for today, Brian? What do you feel
like? We're going to talk about those poor people that have the most... stressful, mundane. However you say it, Klingons aren't good with English.
Depressing.
People like the poor guy that has to do the diagnostic tests on like the transporter pads. The poor guy that has to go into somebody's birthing compartment and fix a replicator or shower.
Well, let's talk about them. How about the poor guy who has to fix the or test the transporter? I mean, how is it described? One molecule off and you're done.
Yeah. got to sit there and calibrate that all the time.
Yeah. He gets transported back and forth, yeah.
And see, they pulled that set apart and showed what they had to go through to do that. It was when they lost that Romulan spy that was acting as a Vulcan ambassador.
Yep.
I think that was the episode where they pulled the whole transporter apart to find out what happened.
Yeah, and as it turned out, she was just fine. Okay.
Or poor, like we call poor Reginald Barkley has to go and fix the poor
holodeck
when it screws up.
Yeah, he's the one that has to go in
and take care of the problem after someone's had a bad or has had a good session.
Yeah, depending on your point of view. I mean, yeah, the poor guy gets no respect. I mean, they call him Broccoli behind his back, sometimes to his face. So, you know, that was an accident. That was metathesis, you know, a reversal of vowel to consonant. Bark to Brock. Never mind. I heard that. You know, that was Data that said that. But
yeah, no, that was
Broccoli.
Actually Picard, wasn't it?
Who? Picard said, yeah, I look forward to your report, Mr. Broccoli. Barkley. And, yeah, but then again, he did recover very well by the time Voyager came out. And he, you know, he's a hero of Voyager. He finally made contact with them. And so he's come out pretty good.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you know what I don't like about what they do to Barkley? Nobody takes him serious, okay? Especially like on Voyager. They suspended him from duty because he was trying to make contact with Voyager using this pulsar. And they said, come on, you're nuts, you're crazy, you can't do it, go away, shoo. And they finally had to break into the damn lab for them to realize that he was right. And so they made
him, and then turn around and made him go through hell trying to get to him in the first place.
Yeah, so
That tells you just how good a caliber the USS Enterprise crew are just to get on that ship.
Well, yeah, he was good to get there, but I mean, he finally made contact with Voyager, and so he was the hero at that time. And then the next time you see him on, he's trying to send a holographic message to Voyager to help them. I don't know what they were trying to do that they just can't do in words or voice, but of course they treated him like a moron again. It can't be done, and he had to try and prove that it could. So, but that was poor Broccoli. Huh, I almost did it myself. Poor Barkley. Now, you mentioned one earlier I want to bring up. The guy who fine-tunes the torpedoes. You know, the one who has to turn all the knobs and make sure it's all wired correctly. I believe his name is Lieutenant Commander Shaky. Because he's so nervous when he does it, he's always shaking. You know, after what happened to Ensign, oh God, what was his name? Ensign Blown Apart? Something like that. But Shaky gets very nervous when it comes time to fine-tune the torpedoes. So, and you know what?
But it all comes back down. Nobody truly understands what it takes to run a ship that size.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a ship the size of a small moon, okay? Mm-hmm. And you got to do all these routine maintenance on a ship that's pretty much automated, okay? One button, it does 20 different things.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to press it.
They got to clean exhaust. They got to clean warp manifolds. Mm-hmm. They got to do constant routine checks on your warp engines.
Uh-huh.
And these poor little junior engineers and whatever comes wrong and has to do all this kind of stuff, crawl through a Jeffries tube to fix a replicator line deep inside the bowels of the ship because the captain's replicator in his ready room won't work right.
God forbid he doesn't get his tea Earl Grey hot.
No, he gets Rackuccino cold.
Yes. Okay. Well,
I mean, you gotta feel sorry for these poor guys. I mean, these poor men and women who go out every day. Or heaven help you, the security personnel's got to go around and check every phaser rifle, every emergency phaser in key compartments like engineering, the bridge. I think there was one in medical, wasn't there? Yeah. There was. There was a phaser.
Sure.
He's got to go through and check every one of them phasers.
Actually, where I think happens is I think there's two people that do that job. And they alternate. One gets to fire the phaser, the other gets to feel it. So I think, you know, like, hey, John, does this hurt? Oh, yes! Okay, this one works. Okay, your turn.
Your turn.
Oh, man, you're right, it does hurt. So
I bet you they spent a lot of time in medical, and then just so happens that the engineer in charge of checking all the probes and stuff in medical is in there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about those poor little people, and I think you're right. Remember the Voyager episode? I think it may have been called Lower Decks. You know,
yeah.
I think it was B'Elanna says. Gives this pad to her. Hey, take this to this person. He takes it to that person. That person takes it down to another person, which then takes it down to the guy who, you know, allocates the power back and forth. And you can see how mundane their poor jobs were, that he's down in the bowels of the ship allocating power back and forth to people. So, poor guy. I wouldn't want to be him either. And how about Picard? He got a second chance at a, you know, at life, because the Q took him in an alternate reality. He didn't lose his heart, and now he's some stupid ensign, lowly ensign, who could run the ship but was never given the chance because he
actually
never
he
took
was
a chance.
A lieutenant commander.
He was a lieutenant. I thought he was an ensign.
Nope, he was a lieutenant commander.
Oh.
He was a 2.5er.
Oh,
he
wow.
was a he was an astrophysics.
Yeah. Are you sure he wasn't an ensign?
He was a blue with three pips.
Let's take a look at something here. Yeah, I think I think we have it now that he was actually a lieutenant. But still, he thought he, you know, he was in charge of the thing. So you needed old Riker and Troy to let him know that you're just a lieutenant. Go away. Shoo, shoo, shoo. So,
yeah, you've done this enough times and failed miserably. We're not going to waste our time anymore.
Isn't that the problem? You've never taken a risk. And they haven't Troy come down on him like that. He's learning his lesson. But I still would have, you know, he wanted the girl. Can you blame him? But in the end, he chose to lose his heart again and take command of the Enterprise, so... Okay, how about somebody like the medical guy? You know, testing the biobeds, the tricorders, making sure they all work. Medical tricorder. You know, how many times did doctor have to say that? Tricorder. Medical tricorder. I mean, you know, they didn't know any better. But what I also didn't like about that is whenever the doctor said 5 cc's trioxylane, the captain, who has no medical training at all, walks over to the thing, grabs a hypospray, picks the, I don't know, the red medicine, puts it in, and it's always correct. How's that possible?
Because he is medically trained, that's why. He's probably trained to do emergency medicine.
Well, actually...
emergency triage, so they would know which ones are the sedatives or the... kind of stuff.
I should clarify, Picard never once loaded a hypospray. I'm talking about Janeway there. She always loaded the hypospray. Even Neelix, I think, loaded a hypospray. How does, you know, can you imagine on orientation when you first come on board Voyager, you have to go into sick bay and learn what each one of those little colored liquids do? Sir?
Yeah, that's... Well, see, that was after they got in the Delta Quadrant.
That's true. I mean, yeah, they all had to.
Because they all had to. Look what they had to do. They had to... force Paris into being a doctor.
Yeah, and that was until Kes took it. So
yeah, until Kes.
Okay. And why didn't people like Kes anyway?
I don't know why they didn't like Kes. I kind of thought she was kind of a cool character, especially towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the beginning she was a little bit strange, but then she started getting pretty darn sexy. So she was actually getting cute, and, you know, I mean,
you're feeling sorry for Neelix, because Neelix was getting all that booty and nobody else was.
Yeah, I was getting a little, people were getting a little bit jealous. I mean, and then, of course, you know, they thought they needed to spice it up, so they brought on 40 of Triple D, excuse me, 36, or, I mean, 7 of 9, and took Kes off. You know, they needed to spice it up. I don't know, I thought Kes was cuter than 7, but, you know, whatever. There were times that they made 7.
I won't comment about your addiction to racks.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. But there were times that 7 looked pretty darn cute, too, when they made her up on the holodeck when the doctor was trying to chase after her. And so was Harry Kim, and so was... Well, gee, who wasn't? But,
me?
Yeah, I don't remember coming on to her either. And I certainly don't remember her throwing me against the wall and kissing my brains out. I don't remember that. But anyway.
Actually, we're getting off the deep subject here.
Definitely.
We'll have to talk about the females we like of Star Trek sometime as a show.
There we go. And then also let the other half speak their mind. We'll have to bring your sweetie face on and tell us about all the men she
likes.
Are
you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's like trying to do a root canal without no anesthetic, man.
Oh, no. Why?
She's too chicken to get on and talk.
Oh, she'll talk. She'll be just fine. But, you know,
she won't. She's already giving me that look like, there ain't no way in hell you get me on this show.
Yeah, unfortunately, my wife doesn't like Star Trek. The only one she likes is Voyager.
Yeah, so. I see the frown on her face.
Oh, really? Well, tell her Lou was hoping that she'd come on and talk to us about all the Star Trek guys she likes and why she likes them. And then,
we like to hear a female's point of view.
Absolutely. Hey, how about Lushy?
Yeah, we could try. We could ask Lushy. We could ask the kitty to come on too.
Yes, they like our show, and you know this. Don't tell them.
I just pissed Mixie off again because she's the kitty too.
Here we go. Now, remember, guys, we're not going to tell anybody about this. These are called Easter eggs. So we want Lushy to actually come to us and say, hey, you said something about me coming on the show. I do want to do it. You know, because you sometimes wonder, they say you're listening to the show, but are they really? Just like Mike Smith, I talk about him a lot on the Mike Tech Show. I put these nuggets in, but he never says anything. So
right.
I know he doesn't listen to it. Whatever.
Just like I put the nugget in about the new guy on our clan, just to see if our one listener is actually still downloading the show and listening.
Oh, yes, that would be Robert, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Robert from across the pond. I like him, so he's welcome to come on, too, if he wants. So, you know.
And then, of course, we have to talk about our cleric, too.
Mm-hmm.
He did a whole Super Bowl party doing magic all weekend.
Sunday. Really?
Yep.
Well, I do know he
has.
Yeah,
his magic didn't work too well. The Colts lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know he's wanted to come on, and the one time he was scheduled to come on, he wasn't able to. So, I'm sorry, man, but we'll get him bound eventually. So,
what I thought I'd do is take one day and actually bow down and let Tim take my spot for a day and let him stand in and sit with you, and I'll sit back and watch and enjoy.
No, man. No. We can't do that. I got to have you on. It's with Lou Trek Show without Brian is pointless. Pointless. So I've got to have you on. He's welcome to join us as a guest, but I can't do this without you, man. I wouldn't even want to. You know, I don't mind coming on when you're not feeling good, and I'll do a solo show. And someday, if I don't feel good, you could do a solo show.
Well, cross your fingers, hope to God, you might have to go solo. I'm going to have him cover me while I'm at the Biggest Loser.
The Biggest Loser.
Yes, I signed up to be on the Biggest Loser.
Well, I'll tell you what, you make it, you let us know, and we'll deal with it then.
I will. I'll let you know when I'm leaving for taping and everything, and tell you hasta Ibiza, and wish me luck, and probably be 100 pounds skinnier, a whole lot more brasher and louder. And
absolutely, but, you know, we'll talk about you every week, you know, that you're on. Maybe you can just, you know, you can always call into the show. We'll call you. We'll get you on somehow. But,
well, okay. you gotta get past them to let you talk, let me on.
Oh, that's true, because, yeah, you can't spill out anything. By the time the first show airs, you're pretty much going to be done, aren't you?
Yeah, so you have to, and I can't talk about nothing until after.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
until after I'm eliminated. So if I go through the whole thing, he kept up at the final three, then I can't do that. I can't say a word until after the show, until after the live show airs.
I hear you. Now let's talk about other guys that have rough lives, like say Miles O'Brien.
Oh, Miles, they worked his
hiney off, especially on Deep Space Nine.
DS9, he was everywhere on that ship.
Space station. Everywhere on the station. And they underappreciated him big time. How could they not have promoted him? Chief Petty Officer, my hind. He ran that station. He kept it going.
Give you a hint on just how bad Miles O'Brien had it. Think about it for a minute. When DS9 first started out, it was nothing more than a mining station held by banding wire and spit.
Yeah.
Because the Cardassians had basically stripped it of almost any usable item that they thought was usable on it. So not only did he had to go in and fix whatever the problems was, but he had to convert it from Cardassian to Federation.
The bloody Cardies.
And then he had to turn around, and then when Sisko throws him the ultimate, I'm going to see just how good you are, and has him throws on all those phaser arrays and all those photon torpedo launchers on the ship on top of everything else he has to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it shows just how much he has interacted with DS9 when he had to help Task escape.
Oh,
you
yes.
You can see how well he knew the station then.
Absolutely.
And that was early in the season. That was, what, second season?
Yep.
So the show hadn't even been on that long, and he's already interacted throughout the whole ship.
And you know,
by then.
You know another reason I feel for the man? It's all up in one word. Keiko. I feel sorry for him. I probably would have been up on murder. I would have killed Keiko. Killed her. I hated Keiko. Hated Keiko!
Okay? What'd you hate Keiko for?
I hated Keiko. She was so annoying.
No, the kid was annoying.
Yes, the kid was annoying too. I couldn't stand the kid's voice. Daddy. Are you coming, Daddy? Daddy. Oh, I hated that voice. I hated it. But considering it came out of Keiko, you know, the fruit didn't fall far from the tree. She was so annoying, always pissing and moaning about, she hates here, I hate it here. I mean, come on, that's why he had to send her to Bajor, send her to Earth, get her away. Get her away.
He needed a vacation, he couldn't be a man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when she was gone like 6 months, it was the happiest time for all of us watching the show, because she wasn't there. And when she came back, you could see the blood draining from his face. It was just... poor guy. I feel sorry for him. He's a chief petty officer on a broken down space station, always on the verge of being destroyed by the bloody Cardies, and then finally gets some peace, and what do you think happens? His wife comes back and hauling the kid.
And then Sisko says, I want more phasers and photon torpedoes on this shit, on this base.
Yep.
Get going, Miles.
Get going. Go do it.
And here's where we come back to the poor guys. Okay, think about it for a minute. We're talking, what was it, 50 extra phaser banks and, what was it, another 100 launchers?
I don't remember that, to be honest.
Okay. It's like, and you got to get power to all these things. Plus, you got to get them mounted. Plus, you got to get them armed. Plus, you got to get them so the targeting systems will target whatever's targeting.
Yeah.
I mean, Miles Miles, in my opinion, should have been named the MVP of the show.
Oh, yeah. Look what they did to Kira. This is what I don't get. Kira was not a Starfleet officer. She was a Bajoran military officer. So when she got fed up with the Bajorans, what did they do? They made her a full commander in Starfleet. Why wouldn't they do the same for Miles? Why couldn't he? He should have definitely had been a commander. He was a chief engineer. Still, as a chief petty officer. Which, I mean, like he said, as soon as Nog graduated from the academy, he would have to call him sir.
Yep.
So that was definitely not right. Okay, so we talked about Broccoli, though, Brian. Who else you want to talk about, the poor guy? Or the poor gal?
Poor guy? What about those poor... How about the poor victims that have to be security officers and get shot all the time?
Oh, the red shirt?
No, the yellow shirts.
Yellow shirts never got... No, we're talking about red shirts here. It was a
we're
red
talking
shirt.
About next generation yellow shirts.
Oh, well, yes, then it was yellow shirts. Because, obviously, when you saw a new face beam down, you knew something was up. Or how about anybody who had to go on a shuttlecraft or runabout mission? That was not going to go good. Never has it ever gone good. Look at Chakotay. The poor guy, he's out there doing his Akuchimoya, and the Kazon have to try and destroy him just to show that he's a man. You know, B'Elanna and Paris go out on a shuttlecraft. What happens? They have to beam themselves into space because they get nearly destroyed.
Look at, what was it? Ensign Cam and B'Elanna get picked up by the people had the phage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then they turn around and poor B'Elanna, she's talking about split personality the hard way. They split her right in half, like an atom, man. There's a full blooded Klingon on one side and a full blooded human on the other side. And they both don't like each other.
No, they don't, because obviously B'Elanna doesn't like herself. That proves that point. Oh yeah. Or how about Chakotay and Janeway having to relive the same moment over and over again, talking about talent night. I mean, no shuttlecraft trip ever resulted in anything good. It was always
something.
Well, look
at Worf. He went through a temporal anomaly, and every mm-hmm. time he got around Geordi, he switched a different timeline.
Yeah, there you go.
Or, what was it? Picard... Deanna Troi, Geordi, and somebody else were on a runabout, and they ran across this alien that had froze a Romulan warbird in the Enterprise in time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the entities were walking around trying to fix the problem, and they're trying to walk around trying to find out what the problem is.
Yep. Or how about... here's what I thought you were thinking of is Picard... Picard.
Oh, it was Ro. Data. Data was the other one.
Oh, Data. Yes, that's it. And then I was thinking Picard, Ro, Guinan, and Keiko are on a runabout. When they get beamed over, they beam over as children.
Yeah.
Remember that? Now, I thought the funniest part of that was when Keiko, you know, the little Keiko was trying to snuggle up to Miles, and he's like, "But you're a little girl." Miles Edward O'Brien, I'm still your wife. And I thought, ooh, this can't go good.
mean, oh, they got a lot of calls on that one.
Did they really?
Yeah, child promoting.
I wondered that, because she's trying to snuggle up to the guy, and he's like, this ain't going to happen. No, 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 no. You know, you're not only a few years older than your own daughter here. So, yeah, that had to be weird.
What about Dr. Not Crusher, but the other one. Pulaski. Taking a shuttlecraft because she's so afraid of transporters. She takes a shuttlecraft down to a planet where all the children have been genetically engineered to their immune systems are designed to attack.
Yep.
To attack a virus attacking the body. It actually goes out and attacks it away from the body.
Yep.
And it ages her.
And ages her. And you know the worst part of that whole episode? You know the worst part? they were able to find the cure and reverse Pulaski's aging. That was absolutely
the way she was afraid would happen to her.
I was devastated when they were able to reverse her aging and brought her back to her normal self. Yeah. All right. I guess I have to take the good with the bad.
But, well, I thought Dr. Pulaski did a great job.
Really? Well, yeah. I like the way she exited L.A. Law, you know, when she fell down the elevator shaft. And
Well, she didn't do that in Star Trek.
No, she didn't. She was okay on the turbo lift. But I thought it'd been funny if they actually did that, where she was on, maybe on the holodeck or something, and she was standing at the turbo lift talking to Picard, and it opens up, and she walks in it, and wah!
Oh, God, think about that poor technician that has to do that work.
Oh, yeah, get the turbo lift working right?
Yeah, let's get the lube. We got to go and lube the turbo lift today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I look at today's, when I look at my job, what we do in my job in security, I won't say, well, everyone can figure out where, but anyway, when we have something going on and we have to alert our security company, a security alarm company that things will be changed, invariably, almost every time, they did not get the notice. Other departments didn't get the notice. Somebody didn't know that we were going to do something, or we were going to be there overnight, or we were going to do something. Somebody didn't tell somebody what was going on. Now, let's be the guy in the turbo lift shaft who's trying to repair something, thinking that everybody got the memo that that particular shaft is out of commission. But it's not. It turns out that he can hear it coming toward him. How's that feel?
Well, considering the fact it's going extremely fast, yeah, I'd be worried, too.
I'd be very worried. Might not feel it too much, you know. It just...
Well, you got to keep in mind, too, on a ship that big, it's probably computerized. He's probably got the computer to section out X section, this section, and has reroutes for it.
Hopefully.
So he's not caught in the shaft and getting shafted.
He got shafted. I got the shaft. Man, they're not true.
Yeah, and I'm dead because of it.
There you go. Okay.
I knew getting that turbo lift up my backside was a good feeling.
Oh, or the window washer. I said this before on the worst jobs in the Federation, the window washer. The guy who's got to be outside washing the windows, you know, at the time that the ship hits warp. I mean, you could do it in... Let me ask you this here. How would this work? Could you stand on the ship and have that start going on impulse or something? There's not like there's any air. So what would there... Would there be any centrifugal force that would knock you back if there's no air in space?
Yeah, because the motion... You gotta keep in mind that the ships are set up with inertia dampers and stuff.
Yep.
Gravitational generators and stuff. Mm-hmm. So what'll happen is because the speed of the momentum of the ship, it would knock you back. That's why you don't go out on warp or even high impulse when you're out on the outer part of the ship. Because even at 1/4 impulse power, you could, if you don't do it the right way, you're gone. You're history.
Sure.
You're floating and waiting for your oxygen to die out.
You know what I would like to try is an EVA, you know, extravehicular activity. Go outside the spaceship, you know, and of course they have those suction cups or whatever, magnetic boots where this stays on the hull. But, you know, obviously, if you were on top of the ship and you were walking along and you saw the ship underneath you, you'd be fine, right?
Right.
So what if you were on the bottom of the ship? Wouldn't it still be the same thing? You're still looking at a ship that's underneath you, you're fine? I think the reason
why... Well, that's why they always tell you to look down instead of looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look up, it throws your equilibrium off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why if you ever notice the spacewalkers... Mm-hmm. Are usually like got their head pointed down towards whatever they're working on, or the space station itself, or the shuttle that they're working on, or whatever they're working on in space, is so that it doesn't throw your equilibrium off. It's the same way of steel workers who work on steel girders up on high areas. Mm-hmm. That's how they keep from falling and losing their balance. Hmm. They concentrate. They literally concentrate on the girder, because looking up or down or away, mm-hmm. a lot of times will cause your equilibrium to go, because you're, it's like, oh my God, it's more like a brain, it's mm-hmm. more of a brain reaction. But some people can't walk on tight beams or nothing like that, because their balance is just so out of whack, because they look at a whole area.
Sure.
They can't concentrate on just a small area. I have that problem. I have a hard time walking on a balance beam.
Ooh, I couldn't either. No way. Nope. Not unless it was right on the floor and I didn't have to really worry about it.
Now, if you lay a whole great big sheet of ice in front of me, I walk across it like it's nothing.
Really?
Put me on a balance beam, I'll fall off every time, guaranteed.
Wow. All right. Okay, well, what else we got?
How about if the ship has to make its own food? The poor cook. We have to bring that on because of Voyager.
Enterprise.
I mean, yeah, no. Voyager.
Oh, Neelix
had to
did
cook
have
for
to
the
do
crew.
It. Yeah, he did a lot of cooking.
And yeah. And back in on Enterprise and TOS.
Yeah.
And through some of the first movies.
Yep.
Even, well, all the way up to the last Star Trek, Undiscovered Country. They still did not replicate food then.
Nope. Mm-mm.
They cooked it.
Protein resequencer or something like that.
So, because they dissolved the big pot of potatoes that they were working on.
Oh, yes, and I didn't know. That's another thing. How was that? The phaser couldn't evaporate the potatoes? I mean, the thing was just sitting there with the spoon sticking out of it? That was a little weird. It should have vaporized the entire thing. It's like when on Star Trek Voyager, when they went back, you know, they went back to the 21st century and they were in San Francisco, or no, Los Angeles, and the guy vaporizes the truck that Tuvok and Paris was test driving. If that was the case, then the outer shell of the truck should have been vaporized, and the seats and the interior should have stayed. But it didn't. The entire truck vaporized.
So, well, see, she only set it on the lowest end of disintegrate, so that she only aimed for the pot. She didn't get the potatoes.
That makes sense, but
it was funny, because it all comes back down to cooking. Feel sorry for those poor guys that have to sit at the officer's mess and serve all that food and have to sit there and be proper and everything. It's like, God, I feel sorry for those.
Yep. So, okay.
And speaking from experience, because being in the Navy.
I'm sorry?
Being in the Navy.
You're cutting out, Brian. Say that one more time.
Being in the Navy.
Huh.
If you've ever been, you do mess duty. And that's basically what we're talking about. And if you've ever done mess duty, it is one of the most disgusting jobs there is. You're the one that has to clean the galley, clean the pots and pans that the cooks are cooking out of. You're the one that has to clean the warmers and the grill and everything else in there. You got to scold the coffee pot.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because the way they did it, they used to run this very nasty vinegar solution about every week they would run this vinegar solution through it, and these guys never got it all the way out, so that first pot of coffee was some of the nastiest you ever had.
So what would have made you want to join the Navy?
Lou, I can't even hear you, Lou.
You can't hear me at all?
Now I can.
Oh. I was just asking you, what would even make you want to join that?
Oh, the one that you want me to say Navy so you can play the song?
don't know what's gotten into me.
I mean, so you got to feel sorry for the poor guys that have to do the same thing back in Star Trek, the original series.
Sure.
Yep. I mean, it's torture.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Or how about the uniform designer? They never could get it right, could they?
No, they always changed it.
Exactly. I mean, every season of every series was different. Like, say, for instance, the first season of The Next Generation, the jumpsuit, the PJs, as I call them, the onesies. Yeah. They had to wear their onesies. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, later on in the series, every time Picard got out of his chair, what's the first thing he did?
Had to pull his shirt down.
Yeah, what makes your shirt ride up so much all the time? So
he's sitting on your ass too much.
There you go. sitting on your rear, crossing your legs, and speaking
and
to the screen.
Then they went to this crazy jacket.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't so bad. But
and
the only
then they went to the DS9 jumpsuit.
DS9 jumpsuit. Mhm.
Then they went to the DS9 Next Generation jumpsuit.
Mhm. Yep. That's right. Didn't Sisko end up in one of those two-piece suits after a while, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, see, Sisko started out in PJs.
Yes. Really?
And then they went to the DS9. Went to the DS9 uniforms. Well, by about halfway through DS9, Next Gen started wearing the uniforms.
Oh, that's right. And they reversed the colors on Deep Space Nine, didn't they, for the uniforms?
Yeah. Then Starfleet merged up and did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Voyager was kind of in those reversed uniforms.
But you know what the interesting thing about Voyager was is they never changed uniforms once. And obviously because they didn't, even though the Federation changed their uniform, Voyager stayed the same. Obviously because they didn't have access to the new uniform design, so there was no choice. Interesting. But of course,
yeah. Sometime we'll have to do a theological one concerning Voyager. Remember when the Voyager and the other ship was out in the Delta Quadrant? One was just a small survey ship.
Oh yes, Captain Ransom. Yeah,
you want to play Ransom or you want to play Janeway?
No. I was talking. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but. Yeah, I meant
do a discussion on Federation. It would be a discussion on, was Ransom right for what he did, or was Janeway right for what she did?
Ransom was completely wrong. There's no way around it. You can't justify cruel and unusual punishment to another species just to get yourself home a little earlier. Ransom was totally wrong. Wrong. Starfleet officers should have rather died. They would have self-destructed first before they would have started using life forms.
I don't agree. I agree with your view, but you got to look at it from Ransom's point of view too. I mean, Voyager's more than capable of defending itself out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the ship he was on wasn't. Okay, and on top of that, they've been hunted down by both the Kazon and other species who look at them like they're like the deer. Okay, Ransom had basically used his great command skills
mm-hmm.
to keep them from being captured and or destroyed up to that point, but
well.
He's kind of looking at it from the point of view of, I mean, I'm desperate here. I mean, I got to do something because at the point I'm at right now, we're going to be dead because we
mm-hmm.
just can't survive.
Yeah, I think this is a discussion that we will have to do. We will have to schedule this in because we're at an hour now. We could talk probably for another hour about that. But
oh, yeah, easily. That'd be a good...
Yes, you know, and anybody wants to join us for this discussion, let us know, because, you know, there's going to be other points of view as well. So we'll do that. But why don't we go ahead and do an independent artist song today? How's that?
Okay.
All right. Well, since Super Bowl was yesterday, I found one on GarageBand.com. This is called The Spliffs. S-P-L-I-F-F-S. And the name of the song is called Super Bowl. And that was a Spliffs, the Spliffs with Super Bowl. And of course, that has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. But it had the name Super Bowl, and I thought, oh, well, let's just play it. You know, while we were listening to that song, I was on Google looking up Cole Meany, the guy who played Miles O'Brien. And I'm going to try and reach out to him. I would absolutely love to have him come on the show, wouldn't you?
Yeah, tell me about it. Have him talk about what it was like to be Miles O'Brien.
Uh-huh. Yes. Then maybe he can help us understand why Miles O'Brien didn't kill Keiko.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that subject up.
Oh, yes, I will. And, you know, maybe I'll have him listen to that squeaky
Mama
thing, you know.
You're not mine, Daddy.
Like, ooh, ooh, ah. anyway. But, okay, well then, that brings us to the end of this show today, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right,
it's
well.
It's time.
Anything else? Anything else? Anything?
Nope, I've got nothing else to say up to this point but one thing. Engage, number one.
Aye, sir. All right, everybody. Well, please send us topic suggestions, comments, and questions to lewtrekshow@gmail.com. We got a lot of topics, but we still want yours, and we want you on the show. Please communicate with us. lewtrekshow@gmail.com. And good night. Kapla.
Kapla.